It is Thursday, November 1st, 2012. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Christina Thomas. Thank you to all of you who made pledges of financial support to KUAF during our on-air fundraiser. We met our goal of $160,000 yesterday. In fact, our unofficial early results indicate a total of about $163,000. That's dollars pledged. And we greatly appreciate your continued support of KUAF, public radio in our region, and of Ozarks at Large.
And support for KUAF does come from our contributing listeners and from NOARC and their NWA Human Resource Association's monthly meeting Thursday, November 8th from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Springdale Holiday Inn. A panel of HR professionals will answer questions about legislative reforms and guidelines that affects all businesses. Registration is required. NOARK.org for more information.
Support also comes from Northwest Arkansas Media, publishers of the Northwest Arkansas Times, Springdale and Rogers Morning News, Benton County Daily Record, and the Northwest Arkansas edition of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, offering news and stories researched, written, and edited by local journalists. More information is available online at nwaonline.com.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, how the One Foundation is working with Arkansas organizations to influence policies toward the reduction of poverty around the world.
Plus, the Boys and Girls Club National Youth of the Year. I'll talk to Trey Dudley, a freshman at the University of Arkansas.
But first, more than 1,000 acres north of Beaver Lake in Benton County will become the 71st natural area within the Arkansas System of Natural Areas. The state's Natural Heritage Commission purchased 1,375 acres at Devil's Eyebrow from the Nature Conservancy at a cost of $2.2 million. Karen Smith is the director of the Arkansas Natural Heritage Commission. She says lands within the system of natural areas have local and conservation significance, as well as opportunities for outdoor recreation. She says Devil's Eyebrow is no different.
The Devil's Eyebrow got its name back because of a railroad employee made a comment about it would be easier to put a railroad track along the Devil's Eyebrow than to get it across this piece of property. For a conservation significance, the area has glades and other rare plants and rare animal species related to the karst communities that make it a special place. But it also has 3 miles of shoreline on Beaver Lake that boaters and outdoor recreation folks can just enjoy.
Smith says the state has plans to purchase even more land to add to the natural area, including about 300 additional acres purchased by the Nature Conservancy. She says a specific conservation and use plan will be developed for the area in the coming months.
Some of our activities will be to restore the glade habitats, which is a threatened habitat in the Ozarks and other parts of Arkansas. But as we do these stewardship activities for the conservation values of the land, we're also establishing public lands that will be good for hunting. The area will be part of the wildlife management area system that's managed by the Game and Fish Commission, so it could provide outdoor recreation for hunters. Because a lot of times when we protect the habitat for rare natural communities or threatened natural communities, it's also the habitat for deer and quail and turkeys that the hunters can enjoy.
In addition to hunters, Smith says the conservation value of lands in the system of natural areas makes the areas popular with hikers, birders, and botanists who enjoy observing the natural species of plants, animals, and insects found in their native habitats.
The Full Circle Food Pantry on the University of Arkansas campus in Fayetteville received tons of assistance this week. Food Pantry Director Angela Oxford says that the pantry raised 11,384 pounds of food contributions as part of the Homecoming 5K food drive.
Last year alone, we received 16,000 pounds of food for the entire year, and so it's going to be enormous. What we've been finding is that our numbers continue to grow. We're serving over 200 students, staff, and their families every week. And so food goes quickly, and especially during the holidays because children are out of school and our students and staff who have families have children at home to feed. And so we see a greater demand during the holidays, and we do our very best to stay open as long as we possibly can during the week of Thanksgiving and also during Christmas and times when students are away.
To enter in the Five Cans Razorback 5K race, students were required to donate at least 5 cans of food to the pantry. The pantry still has thousands of cans of food to be stored on shelves. Oxford says that the work couldn't be done without the help of volunteers.
It takes a lot of hands to move the kinds of food donations we receive. Our ongoing volunteers who are actually serving in the pantry, you know, they're meeting our clients' needs. And so when we do those all calls, we really do need those extra hands who can come out and just help come in and stock and help us get the food weighed and sorted, because we really want to properly thank and honor the groups who give us food. And so we want to make sure we do a good inventory and keep track of what they're giving and to be sure and say thank you.
Oxford says that the pantry is always in search of other partner organizations for food drives. Today, the club sports program in the Department of University Recreation began its second food drive supporting the pantry. The food drive will continue through November 20th. Donations will be collected at the University Recreation Office on campus. For more information, visit newswire.uark.edu.
Election Day is on everyone's mind right now, but shortly after November 6th will be November 11th, Veterans Day. Many organizations in the area are planning tributes to American service members, including the AARP. The group has a driver safety program, and it's offering its defensive driving course free to veterans. Joe Petruk with AARP says the class can help save money on car insurance, but could be especially helpful for veterans, some of whom might not have driven a car for an extended period of time while serving abroad, which was the case with him when he was in the Navy. He says, aside from the practicality, it's important to help vets in any way possible.
Veterans do an awful lot for us, and I think, speaking as a veteran, that I think any appreciation that's shown to them is well worthwhile. They're putting it all on the line. And we ought to recognize that.
The deal lasts through the end of this month of November. For more information, AARP.org.
In sports news, the Razorback gymnastics team will get airtime this season, and not just the kind of air gained from jumps, flips, or somersaults. The team announced yesterday that four of its meets this season are scheduled to be broadcast on television. All of the matches will be tape-delayed broadcasts. The first televised meet will be the January 18th meet in Kentucky, which will air on Fox Sports Southwest January 26th. The February 1st home meet against Florida will air February 5th on Cox Sports Television. The February 22nd home meet with Alabama will air February 28th on ESPNU and March 3rd on ESPN2. The March 1st home match against Missouri will air on Fox Sports Southwest March 9th. Additionally, the Southeastern Conference Championship in North Little Rock will air March 28th on ESPNU and March 30th on ESPN.
Clear tonight, lows in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, clear with a high of near 77 in northwest Arkansas. Partly cloudy tomorrow for the Arkansas River Valley with highs in the lower 80s. And for Friday night, clear, 20% chance of rain. That seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? 20% chance of rain, lows around 55 tomorrow night throughout the KUAF listening area.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas, and joining me now is University of Arkansas freshman Trey Dudley, and also the Boys and Girls Club Youth of the Year, National Youth of the Year.
Yes.
Thanks for coming in.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So, National Youth of the Year, Boys and Girls Club, what does that mean?
It's the highest honor that any Boys and Girls Club member can receive. So it means that now I'm the national ambassador for all of the 4 million kids that are a part of the Boys and Girls Club of America through the United States. So it's a huge, huge honor, and I'm super blessed to be able to hold the title.
Well, part of the reason you were chosen is because you have been involved with mm-hmm. your local Boys and Girls Club since you were, what, 5?
Yes, ma'am.
And
yep.
You're now 18.
Yes.
So that's a long time. That's,
yeah.
Way more than half your life.
Yep, definitely.
So how did you first become involved?
Well, when I was in kindergarten, my mom was like, kind of looking for a place for us to go after school because she was working all the time, so she didn't really have a place. So we went, and, at that time, it was just kind of I could go and have fun and, relax and get my homework done, do whatever they had planned for the day. And then as I got older, it became more of like a relationship building program that kind of brought me out of my comfort zone and helped me find my different, different aspects that I had that I didn't know about myself. So, they kind of brought out that confidence and that leadership that was always deep down inside. I just didn't know how to, express it. So, and it also helped me get through a lot of like trials and tribulations at home. So when I wasn't able to like be a kid that, you know, was going into it, I decided to start volunteering in junior high. And then in high school.
So instead of being the mentored, you became the mentor.
Yes. Yeah. So and then in high school, I actually officially started working, and I worked with second and third graders all through, well, I guess at the time I was 16. So then
they started paying you to do it.
Yep.
Yeah. I read in your release that you met a couple of women that really had a big impact.
Yes.
On your life.
Jane Williams and Laura Wagner were my group leaders when I was in sixth grade. And that was kind of the time where things started to change. And, you know, my dad wasn't around anymore. So I was kind of going through the heartache of that. And then also, since he wasn't around, I was trying to be that father figure for my younger siblings. So I was taking on a lot of household responsibilities. I was telling them about, like, my lifestyle, and they're like, wow, you know, you do a lot for your age. And I never really thought about it. You know, it was just second nature to me. So then they kind of, I didn't talk to anyone about it, and I still had, like, that hurt from my dad being gone and stuff like that. So they gave me the chance to, like, express to them how I felt, and that's kind of when things started to turn around and I became, you know, more positive and found my confidence and stuff like that. So
have you had that kind of impact on another youth?
To get prepared for this competition, we did, locally, we had to go around to all of the different sites in my hometown.
And I guess we probably should locally for you was Lawrence, Kansas.
Yes, Lawrence, Kansas.
Okay.
So we had to go around and talk, give our speech to the different sites that we had. And there was one girl at my site who was actually in my group that I worked with who came up to me after my speech, and she was bawling. And, like, just she was like, I didn't know you went through this. She was like, I'm going through the same thing. And so from there on, we kind of had this special relationship where, you know, different comments that she would say or different things that she needed help with, I understood because, you know, I had been through that. So, yeah, there's been multiple times where, and I've also had kids come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, you're my role model. I can't believe you went through that. So it's such an honor to be able to, you know, have that kind of impact on kids now.
Right, for sure. So you mentioned preparation for this competition. So you had to enter to be considered for the National Youth of
yes.
the Year?
You got nominated by the staff. So actually, Miss Laura and Miss Jen were the ones that nominated me to be a part of it. And then you write like 8 scholarship essays on different, I guess, categories, like your home and family life, school, your community service, stuff like that. So you do 8 essays, and then one of those essays becomes your speech, and then you go through an interview process and give your speech at each level that you advance. So I did it locally, and then statewide, or regionals, and then nationals.
So which essay did you choose to speak about? Was it the home and family?
It was What Boys and Girls Club Means to You was okay. The essay topic. So
have you already answered that question for me, what Boys and Girls Club means to you?
Mostly, yeah. It's like I said, it's been that home away from home, that family feeling that, I mean, I always felt like I have an amazing family. I always felt like I had family at home, but just kind of that extended family that I could go and talk to about issues that were going on at home because I didn't want to bring them back up while things were going positive, you know. Also bringing up my confidence and making me into the person that I am while helping do that. So it's meant definitely a lot more than just what most people go for, just like hang out and have fun with friends. It's kind of, if you take the opportunities that are given, it's a place to better yourself and, you know, become a better person, and that's what it's done for me.
So competition, how many kids were up for this? How many kids were nominated?
In my hometown, there were 4 of us, and then or 3 of us, 3 of us. And then regionally, there were 8. Statewide, I think there were 9, and then at nationals, there were 5 of us. So overall, within everyone, it's about 4,000 kids.
So when did you find out that you were chosen?
For
nationally, yeah.
It was.
Or as the National Youth.
It was the beginning or middle of September. We were in Washington, D.C. at a congressional breakfast, and that's where they announced the winner.
So you had already, you knew that you had been chosen to be one of the 5.
Right.
And they brought you to Washington, D.C. in mid-September. Okay.
Right.
Congressional breakfast.
Yes.
What was that like? Who was there? I mean, Congress, right?
Right, exactly. It was amazing. There were so many people there. You know, they also had celebrities. So Denzel Washington was there, and Michael Phelps was there, and Ashanti was there. So that was really cool, too, along with, like, the congressmen and all
the... Did you get to meet them?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. We had a Youth of the Year dinner the night before, and Denzel Washington and Ashanti were there, and they actually sat at our table. So it gave us a chance to kind of get to know them and talk to them, and they gave us some really good advice.
So yeah. they announce it, and then what?
And then I went up on the stage and said an acceptance speech.
Were you prepared?
No.
Did you think that you were going to win?
No, not at all. Not at all. The other four people were absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. It was, at that point, it was just kind of whoever gets it, we're all happy for them no matter what. So, but yeah, after that, I went up and said my acceptance speech, and then they took me off to go take pictures and went and did like media and press releases. And so it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy, but it was so much fun.
In addition to serving as an ambassador, you also got rewarded a scholarship.
Yes, ma'am.
From the Boys and Girls Club. A pretty good one.
Yep. It's actually from Tupperware and then the Rick and Susan Goings Foundation. I got $50,000 in scholarship money and just from winning nationals. And then I also got $10,000 for winning regionals and $1,000 for winning state. So overall, at $61,000 in scholarship money.
That'll pay for a couple years for sure. For sure. That's good. So. Well, and a new car?
I did get a new car. I got a Toyota Corolla.
Okay. Well, so you're in Fayetteville now. Do you have plans to be involved with the Fayetteville Boys and Girls Club? Are you already?
I went last week and just kind of checked it out to see what it was. And I was amazed. I've never seen one look like that before. They have like a swimming pool and two basketball courts with a track that goes around the top of it, like a little workout place. And mine, all of the ones back home are all based in schools, and then we have two standalone sites, but one of them used to be a old elementary school, so it looks like a school, and the other one is the teen center, so it's not as big. But yeah, I was amazed, and I definitely want to get involved with them, and then also just like different stuff on campus, because, you know, that's important too, so...
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So what other things are you going to be involved in?
I know that I want to do the Volunteer Action Center and the Dream Big program that they have over there, because that's just right up my alley. That's exactly what I want to do. And then I'm a part of Student Support Services and Leadership Walton. That's good, too.
Already,
So,
you're moving and grooving just into the, you know, very beginning. I guess we're halfway through the semester now.
Yeah.
Your first year.
Yeah.
So as the National Youth of the Year, you said you'll serve as an ambassador. You know, will you go on, you know, various site visits? Will you meet with groups of what sort of things will you do?
Right now, they have us doing a lot of I say us because a lot of the other finalists accompany me with it, but appearances, I guess, or like speaking engagements. So actually, 2 weeks ago, I was in New York and I was on the Today Show with Shaq. So
are you serious?
Wow. That was really cool. And then next week, I'm going to Atlanta to speak at the Southwest Gala through the Boys and Girls Club. And also, wherever the World Series is, they're going to take me, and I have to throw the first pitch at the World Series. So that'll be pretty amazing, too. So they have us doing a lot of stuff like that, just, you know, meeting new people and kind of being the spokesperson for the youth. So I hope to be able to, you know, visit different sites in various places, but a lot of times it's like speaking at different events, so...
How are you able to handle all that in addition to being a full-time student?
It's not hard. It's just really time-consuming. You have to make sure that you balance your time really well. So there's lots of times where I'll be on the flight trying to do my math homework or, you know, just different things that to throw in different times to get your homework done here and there. But it's not hard, and my professors are super understanding about it.
Did you ever think that you would be jet-setting around and having all of these... No. Awesome speaking opportunities? And
not at all. It's definitely been like a dream come true, and I'm just trying to like soak it all in, you know, because it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. So I'm super, super blessed and honored to be able to do something like this.
It's awesome. And well, college will go by fast. I'm sure you've been told that before. So you're in the business college and you love your community and volunteering. Where do you see yourself after college?
After college, I'm not 100% sure exactly what I want
to
do. But I know that ultimately I want to open a nonprofit for teens. So something right now, I just see like a lot of negative stuff that's going on in, you know, teens world, I guess. So I kind of want to do something to bring out more of the positive stuff that they do, because they do a lot of positive stuff. And so hopefully have a nonprofit for teens and help them transition from high school to college and, you know, to be able to be successful.
Okay. Well, best of luck to you,
Trey. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I spoke with Trey Dudley, the Boys and Girls Club National Youth of the Year, early in October.
It is Thursday, the first day of November 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us on the phone is Becca Martin-Brown. She is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Becca, you can come back. The fundraiser's over.
I know. I'll be there tomorrow,
okay.
I promise.
Okay.
It's just been one of those weeks.
I understand.
And even though Antoinette is not on the air with us, I feel obliged to say, holy cow, it's November 1st.
I'm with you.
All right, well.
I'm horrified. But there's cool stuff going on tonight.
Spoiler alert, in 30 days it's going to be December, so just be braced for that.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
Do you want to know what's going on tonight?
I do.
There is a screening at 6 o'clock of Up Among the Hills at the Fayetteville Public Library.
Absolutely free.
If you missed the gala and you want to know what this is all about, you could see Larry Foley's new film for free at 6 o'clock tonight.
Be fun.
If you remember the film Deliverance, which I'm sorry I've never seen.
Ooh. I've seen that.
Oh, gosh. It's, oh, wow.
Numerous times.
Yeah.
Long time ago. You might remember Ronnie Cox as an actor.
Yes. He also starred in the television show called Apple's Way.
He's also a musician.
He was also the evil guy in RoboCop, but he's also a musician.
And he'll be in Eureka Springs tonight.
Yes.
He's going to be performing at the Folk Festival this weekend, but at 7 o'clock tonight, there's a free screening of Deliverance.
Really?
At the Carnegie Library Annex.
Yeah, it's can you remember the four stars of Deliverance, the four guys who go on the canoe trip? It's Ronnie Cox.
Burt Reynolds. Yeah.
Ned Beatty.
Okay.
And John Voight.
Okay, yep. You're right.
How do you do that, Mr.
I don't know. I don't know how to change my oil, but I know that.
Does Ron Cox play the banjo?
No, he plays the guitar.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he will perform at 7:30 Saturday at the Eureka Springs City Auditorium, and those tickets are $25 to $30 at OzarkFolkFestival.com. And if you've been missing it all week, Shrek, the big green guy, looks like my daughter Amanda's dad.
Right.
He's at the Walton Arts Center with all of his friends for a show at 7 o'clock tonight.
And he'll be there through the weekend.
And he's singing.
Well, there you go.
How can you not love this? Tickets start at $39.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and now Saturday nights. This Friday night, from 10 till midnight, I will feature some great music, but the first hour will be dedicated to an exclusive interview with a great jazz artist who will be performing at the Walton Arts Center on November 9th. That would be Jane Bennett, the Canadian flutist and saxophonist who will be performing with Cuban piano giant Hilario Duran and the legendary conga player and percussionist Candido. So an exclusive interview with Jane Bennett this Friday at 10. Also on the show, we'll hear from Art Blakey and Wallace Roney. And then Saturday, Shades of Jazz from 10 till 1 a.m. Music from Coleman Hawkins and Mulgrew Miller, Pat Metheny, Don Byron, and much, much more. Join me every Friday and Saturday night for Shades of Jazz.
This is Ozarks at Large. The One Foundation was founded in 2004 to work with political leaders on the issue of poverty and preventable disease through policies. It is not a grant-dispensing organization. Instead, it seeks to influence public policy to target foreign aid and foreign aid decisions among governments all over the world. In that respect, there are several Arkansas organizations, Windrock Foundation, Heifer International, and the Clinton Global Initiative, working with One. The U.S. board, for one, includes former U.S. Senator Blanche Lincoln and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. The CEO of One, Michael Elliott, was in Arkansas last month to meet with some of the foundation's Arkansas partners. And during his visit, he talked with Roby Brock from our content partner, TalkBusiness.net.
You don't dole out grants to do these types of things. You try to influence public policy. Point to me some of the things that you are particularly proudest of in terms of achieving this.
Sure. We're a pure advocacy and lobbying organization. We don't do grants. We don't run programs. We advocate for smart solutions that fight extreme poverty and preventable disease around the world. And I think you know, one of the things that we're proudest of is to kind of go back to the very origins of our organization when it wasn't kind of called quite what we're called now, but a lot of the people who put one together, including Bono and Bobby Shriver and Jamie Drummond, the co-founders, spent an awful lot of time on the effort to drop the debt in the 1990s, to forgive third world debt, to clear out third world debt in the run-up to 2000 as a Jubilee campaign. And we were just talking about some of the impacts of that at breakfast this morning. In the 14, 15 years or so since the debt reduction movement really got going in the late 1980s to now, you've got something like 46, 47 million more children in school in Africa. So that's sort of a huge, huge impact. If you look at some of the other programs that we've worked on, we've been very very proud of the work that we've done on vaccinations, supporting the Global Alliance for Vaccination and Immunization, and in particular the work that that we've done on advocating for funds to fight HIV/A. I mean, we're nowhere near the end of the disease. We've got an awful lot to do. We've got lots of programs that we still have to kind of keep funding for a long, long time. But if you go back 10 or so years, there are about 40,000, at most 50,000 people in Africa on antiretroviral drugs, which saved their lives. Now there are more than 6 million. That is a phenomenal change in a decade. And I think the people who put one together, I've only been there kind of less than 18 months, can be extremely proud of the impact of their advocacy on programs like that.
You operate in a bipartisan fashion with Republicans and Democrats here in the United States. We have a pretty polarized electorate right now in the United States. How will your, approach change depending on who wins the presidency?
Well, that's a great question. Bipartisanship is absolutely a bedrock principle for us. It's one of the things that we've been committed to right from the start of the organization. We're very proud of our ability to work with people on both sides of the aisle. We've done that in the past. We'll continue to do it in the future. Two of our kind of great supporters, both great Arkansans, former Governor Huckabee and Blanche Lincoln, just did a piece just this week in Politico, making the bipartisan case for continued investment in foreign assistance. I think whoever wins the election in a couple of weeks' time, and whatever the shape of the Congress, everyone recognizes that there are going to be, you know, long, complicated, I think the president said yesterday, messy discussions on what the next chapter of our fiscal history is going to be. And we would expect there to be much discussion, much debate, and a degree of pressure on the programs that we support that fight extreme poverty and preventable disease. But if there's one thing that we know from the work that we do, is that if there is one thing that everyone can agree on, a phrase that we use a lot, if there's one thing that we can all agree on, Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, people of faith, people who are not religiously inclined, if there's one thing that we can all agree on, it's that there is a great, deep, and compassionate well of goodwill in the United States that has, for many, many years, been at the service of saving and improving lives around the world. And for less than 1% of the federal budget, for less than 1%, not 15%, 18%, 20%, or whatever people kind of think we actually spend on foreign assistance, we save lives, we improve lives, and our conviction is that whoever wins the election, whatever the shape of the Congress, we can all rally around something that we all agree on, which is that less than 1% of the U.S. federal budget is worth spending if it saves people's lives.
Michael Elliott is the CEO of the One Foundation. He was in Arkansas last month to meet with some of the foundation's Arkansas partners, and while here, talked with Roby Brock from our content partner, TalkBusiness.net. Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from four offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And Verizon, offering a wide selection of productivity-enhancing tablets for small business, including the Apple iPad. More information at a Verizon communication store near you or online at VZW.com/smallbusiness. And CEG Partners, using empirical data to better understand your customers' experiences and their loyalties. More information at CEGpartners.com.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, I air the long-awaited interview with Ernest Guitar Roy. He talks about his influences growing up in the Delta, his new CD, and he even plays a track for us here in the KOF studios. That's the Generic Blues Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
It is the first day of November 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Christina Thomas.
And with us, perhaps not believing it's November yet, is Jody Beznoska, who is Vice President for Communications at Walton Motor Center.
No, sorry, my world just got rocked a little bit.
A look of shock on your face.
Yep, it's now November. Wow.
I too am shocked.
Yeah.
November and December are very busy at Walton Arts Center. You've got Shrek, of course, through Sunday night, and it doesn't really stop after that.
No. November, in the early part of November, we're okay. We're a little bit light. But once we get to the end of November, beginning of December, it just rolls on with all kinds of great holiday programming. Yeah. But first day of November. Crazy. So we had really fun festivities related to Halloween last night at the show. Big thank you to the Shrek cast and crew who came out and helped us party with the kiddos. But now it's November, and we have six more shows of Shrek. One tonight at 7, one tomorrow at 8, two shows on Saturday, 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., and two shows on Sunday, 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m.
Are there any more tickets for non-students for Flaming Lips on Sunday night?
There are.
Okay.
Yes, Flaming Lips is Sunday. I forget when the doors open, but yes, there are tickets available to the public. You can get those at the Walton Arts Center website. If you just type in waltonartscenter.org, you'll see a little link at the top of the screen that says Flaming Lips tickets on sale. So yeah, we do have more tickets available to the public for that. And that, of course, that's at Barnhill Arena on the campus.
Right.
So that is this weekend, except we do have another show, believe it or not, going on sale tomorrow morning for the Amp.
Another one for the Amp.
We just finished up the Amp current season, but we just booked our first show for next spring.
Ah.
And the group just has a new album out, so they're launching the tour together. We're all putting it on sale at the same time, and this is for Little Big Town.
I was going to say, what's the group?
Yeah, so this is Little Big Town, and they will be performing, I believe, in April of 2013. Very hard to think that far ahead.
Wow.
But those tickets will go on sale via the Walton Arts Center website tomorrow as well.
And they're a country,
country
band.
And then next weekend, the 9th, we will have the second show in our Starlight Jazz series, Jane Bennett and Hilario Duran with Candido Camero.
Mm-hmm.
Two shows. That is a 7 p.m. and a 9 p.m., I believe, on the 9th.
In Star Theater.
And then we have Letters Home that weekend also. That's a Sunday. That's a theatrical performance based on letters from soldiers serving in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And that's on Veterans Day.
On Veterans Day, yes, absolutely. And Eileen Ivers and the Immigrant Soul will be here as part of the 10x10 art series on November 15th. Eileen Ivers, of course, is sort of legendary in the world of fiddling. That's going to be really sort of, I would bet you that's a real high energy, fun.
Just saying
kind of
fiddling
show.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It does. And like I said, that's a 10x10, so we'll have a pre-show creative conversation, obviously, before the show, and then we will have a post-show party, which those have stepped up a notch this year on the 10x10 with food and little tasty hors d'oeuvres and great special drinks. So that will be really fun on the 15th. And then it looks like we have, at least according to this calendar, we have a little bit of a break. Oh, I missed one. The Whalers.
Oh, that's right. That's right. A week from Saturday.
Yeah.
The 10th.
Yes. I knew there was one between the 9th and the 11th. Right. So the Whalers is happening. And obviously we know the Whalers. They're right. the Bob Marley's band.
The tickets for that are really affordable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they very much are. And then we will have another show on the I'm looking all the way to the end of November right now. It's called All Is Calm, The Christmas Truce of 1914.
And that's,
I don't think we've talked about this one yet.
I don't think we have.
This is also on the 10 by 10 art series. And this is a, this is one of those great collaborative projects that gets arts people like me really excited. It's a vocal, choral singing and a theater working together to create this program. And it dramatizes and talks about, through music and theater, that amazing...
A real event.
That amazing Christmas Eve where the two warring sides in World War I came into the demilitarized zone and sang Christmas carols together on Christmas Eve.
Up from the trenches, literally.
Yep.
And decided...
Decided they weren't going to fight that night. And so they would,
You know,
kind of amazing.
And it's an amazing story. But the saddest part of that story is then the next day.
Next day. They just went right back to it.
They had to fight.
Yeah. It's it kind of gives you shivers thinking about it. And I think it will be a really, really beautiful and moving, obviously, performance. But it's neat. It's going to be both these amazing voices singing, but it's also going to be, I think there's multimedia and performance that goes along with it to sort of tie the story all together.
And most tickets are $10.
Most tickets are $10, yeah. And then let's just look ahead to our next Broadway show, and that would be in the first week of December, and that would be Billy Elliot. Billy Elliot,
a good one.
Musical. Yeah. We're going to have lots of amazing things to talk about related to Billy Elliot. The story of how the little boys who play Billy do that is really remarkable. They rotate. There's three or four of them per show.
Right.
They rotate because the role is so tough, and they travel with their own school, and it's going to be be fun.
They're like on stage practically the whole entire time.
Yeah. They dance, they sing, they actually really have to act. Mm-hmm. It's not a sort of easy young person's role. The show is built around them. I got to meet a couple of the Billies. This is what we call them. I got to meet a couple of them back in New York a couple months ago, and I have never, I was so incredibly impressed with these little boys. You know, they were 12, 13 years old, and they were more well-spoken and self-possessed and just mature than a lot of adults I've met. And they really have to be a special breed to play Billy. So it's going to be neat.
Quick question. So you mentioned in New York. Mm-hmm. Does your job allow you to travel to New York and see these Broadway shows and get to choose?
Yes.
She has to do research.
I've never asked that question.
It's a tough...
Didn't know this.
It's a tough job. But yes, actually,
I do. Awesome.
I'm very lucky. I get to go preview a lot of things. We have our programming department does that more than I do. But luckily, we work together and we try to... It's really important for us to see the shows. There are times where we've brought shows here, But yeah, it's a nice perk of the job. I love the travel, and you usually get to see things that you wouldn't see otherwise. I mean, we see a lot of shows that we will never bring here, but we have to see them just in case we might. So it's good.
Information about all of these shows that you can see at Walton Arts Center:
443-5600 at the box office, or waltonartscenter.org. Or come down and visit us. We have the two new exhibitions up in our gallery. And if parking is free before 2 o'clock, so come on down and say hello.
All right. Thank you, Jody.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jody. Jody Besnoska is Vice President for Communications with Walton Arts Center.
This is Ozarks at Large, and it is the first day of November. Plenty of big movies that might have Oscar considerations attached to them are coming out this month. Wayne Bell, who writes the column Culture Club for FayettevilleFlyer.com, came in this week to talk about some of those movies and other entertainment options that will be greeting us in the next month. I began our conversation, though, by asking him about the movie Argo, which he had just recently seen.
I mean, it's always hard to tell at this point in the year, but it'd be really hard to think that it's not going to be a considerable threat, if not win. It's that good, and I would encourage everybody who hasn't seen it to go see it. And it's been growing in word of mouth, so it's well worth the price of admission.
Not that often that an Oscar contender of this merit is out before December, let alone before November.
That's true. But, you know, the past few years, The Hurt Locker, a couple of No Country for Old Men, when they upped the date of the ceremony, it forced them to start coming out earlier and earlier in the year. So I think Argo, it may be a scenario in a few months where we're talking about how it came out strong and then everything else just kind of fell aside. That's what happened with The Departed. I mean,
yeah.
So we'll see.
High recommendations. Okay, let's talk about November. What can we look forward to?
Well, on the evening of the 1st, you have the Country Music Association Awards. Mm-hmm. So you can continue to reward men and their contributions to country music and negate women to one category and, you know, that sort of thing. And then on the 2nd, Flight comes out with Denzel Washington.
And I have seen commercials and previews for this, and I'm not quite sure what this movie...
From what I understand, he lands a plane that is going through, I don't know if it's a weather-related incident or something.
Mechanical.
Yeah, and it catches on fire or whatever, and he lands it. And then they find out later that he allegedly had been drinking before he did it, which... You know, he landed it, but he also might have been drunk. So
it's
supposed to be a really great performance by Denzel Washington. On the 9th, Lincoln comes out.
Steven Spielberg directed, script by Tony Kushner, who, of course, is known for Angels in America.
And then it has two-time Oscar winners, Daniel Day-Lewis and Sally Field, and Oscar winner Tommy Lee Jones. And, I mean, it's got everything.
Doris Kearns Goodwin provided help with the script, so...
Yeah, that could be a real interesting contender. And from the early word I've heard, Spielberg is kind of understated with this. It's not War Horse,
right.
You know. It's supposed to be kind of... his legacy film. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that.
And that
Skyfall also comes out on the 9th, which is the new James Bond movie.
Right.
And it's been doing really big overseas. It hasn't even hit here yet, but it's supposed to be really great if you're a fan of the franchise. And the DVD of The Amazing Spider-Man comes out at that same time if you're dying for some summer fare that's passed. On the 13th, Christina Aguilera and Green Day both come out with new music. So one of those should do pretty well, I would assume, Green Day. On the 16th, Anna Karenina with Keira Knightley comes out.
Right.
So we know what's going to be up for best costume and set.
Best set, right.
And then people, why didn't it get up for anything else? Well, that's what it is. And the Twilight Saga Part 2 comes out.
Okay, this is the second or third movie of the franchise to come out.
I think this is the fourth.
This is the fourth. Okay.
I think they've had 1, 2, 3, part one and 3, part two.
And then that's it?
From what I understand.
Okay.
I'll be devastated, never seen them. On the 21st, Life of Pi.
Ang Lee directs this award-winning bestseller.
Yeah, based on an award-winning book. And when we went to see Argo the other day, my other half turned to me and said, that's your visual effects winner, because the trailer is just ridiculous. You know, it's just so beautiful. And Silver Linings Playbook comes out that day as well. And that's probably, with Argo and Lincoln, your three front runners at this point for Best Picture. It's directed by the same director who did The Fighter and David O. Russell. Mm-hmm. So it's got Jennifer Lawrence, who's got to be the favorite for Best Actress this year, especially with Hunger Games 2, Bradley Cooper, Robert De Niro. So it's pretty stacked. On the 23rd, Hitchcock comes out.
Right. And this is in addition to The Girl, which is right now on HBO. But this is a different film about Hitchcock.
And who's playing on The Girl Hitchcock?
Toby Smart, is that his name?
Something like that. And he's the same one who got Capote after Capote came out.
Right.
So this man just keeps going along. You know what's next? It's going to be him as Abraham Lincoln in an HBO movie. It's
but not hunting vampires.
So, yeah, that comes out, and that looks rather lighthearted. And Rust and Bone comes out that day, too, which was a big winner at Cannes earlier this year with Marion Cotillard.
Right.
It's supposed to be amazing. And then towards the end of the month, Grace Coddington, the editor at Vogue, comes out with her memoir. And Alicia Keys comes out with Girl on Fire, which is, I think, her fifth album. And so that should do well.
The single is already out.
Right. And that rounds out the month, other than a couple of other DVDs that will be coming out this month, like Men in Black 3 and Brave and Savages.
Savages, the one with John Travolta.
That's sort of terrible, yeah.
Right. It's a big month for movies. This is when...
Like I said, I think Argo and Lincoln and Silver Linings Playbook, those are your three big front runners. Life of Pi might make it in there. And then other than that, you've got a few others that we're waiting on. The big one is Les Mis. Everyone's waiting to see if that stacks up. And also The Hobbit, Peter Jackson's new 14th version of the Lord of the Rings or whatever.
Well, this isn't part of the trilogy.
Does
right?
it
this
have is, Elijah Wood in it? Yes.
This well. Is this is the prequel. This was or not the prequel. This was the first book.
Right. Then,
right.
So you know those are things that are going to come up, and then you'll have some fare from the summer that might appear, like Beasts of the Southern Wild and some other movies. But yeah, November's your bulk month.
All right. Wayne Bell writes the column Culture Club for Fayetteville.com. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 1st of November, 2012. Today is All Saints' Day. It was on this day in 1512, Pope Julius II displayed Michelangelo's paintings on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel for the first time, paintings it had taken Michelangelo 4 years to complete, scenes from the Old Testament, including the famous center section, The Creation of Adam. Michelangelo was 33 at the time, and he was not anxious to do this work. He tried to point out to the Pope that he was a sculptor and not really a painter, but the Pope would not listen. And so Michelangelo used his skills as a sculptor to make a two-dimensional ceiling look like a series of three-dimensional scenes. He worked from a scaffold 60 feet above the floor, covering about 10,000 square feet of surface. Every day, fresh plaster was laid over part of the ceiling, and Michelangelo had to finish painting before the plaster dried. It's the birthday of Stephen Crane, born in Newark, New Jersey, 1871. Thought about becoming a professional baseball player as a young man. He played catcher. One of his teammates said he played baseball with fiendish glee. He was spending time in New York City, fascinated by street life there, started writing for tabloids while he was still a teenager, wrote his first novel, Maggie, A Girl of the Streets, which booksellers would not stock. And then, after reading a series of reminiscences of Civil War veterans, Crane decided to write a Civil War novel himself. The result was The Red Badge of Courage, published 1895, the story of a boy named Henry Fleming who signs up for the 304th New York Regiment, hoping to experience the glory of battle that he's read about in school. It made Stephen Crane famous. He was 24 years old. He'd never been in battle himself, and yet Civil War veterans wrote into the newspapers claiming that they'd known Stephen Crane, they'd fought beside him in various battles. He spent the rest of his life working as a war correspondent. On New Year's Eve, 1896, he was on a boat to Cuba to cover the Spanish-American War. The boat sank. Crane survived in a small dinghy with three other men, spent 30 hours at sea, damaged his health, and led to his death a few years later at the age of 28. And it's the birthday of the playwright A.R. Gurney, born in Buffalo, 1930. His first major off-Broadway play was The David Show opened in 1968. It got rough reviews, but Gurney went on to write more than 40 plays, including scenes from American Life, Love Letters, Sylvia, and most recently, Heresy. Here's a poem for today by Wendell Berry. Whatever is foreseen in joy must be lived out from day to day. Vision held open in the dark by our 10,000 days of work. Harvest will fill the barn. For that the hand must ache, the face must sweat. And yet no leaf or grain is filled by work of ours. The field is tilled and left to grace. That we may reap, great work is done while we're asleep. When we work well, a Sabbath mood rests on our day and finds it good. Lines by Wendell Berry from his long poem, A Timbered Choir, published by Counterpoint and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vedder, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Springdale, Fort Smith, and Edwards Junction.
Okay, where is Edwards Junction?
Newton County.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Be interesting to know, to learn about who the Edwards were.
And what was a junction of?
Right.
Someday, you know what we should do?
Go to Edwards Junction.
Well, that and all these other places that we find on the map that, you know, Antoinette earlier this week mentioned Pawpaw, Oklahoma, which mm-hmm. I then found later on a list of Oklahoma ghost towns.
Ah.
So just take a day and find these very small places that maybe don't really exist as much anymore. Once again, thanks to everyone who called in, mailed in, emailed in, walked in, pledges of financial support over the last few days.
Most successful fundraiser ever because of you, our listeners.
That's right. The goal is $160,000. Our unofficial total right now is $163,000. That may alter a bit over
up
the next—
Up or down, right.
As it's audited and whatnot. But thank you very much. And I know it's it takes a Herculean effort on the part of Molly Ron, organizing the volunteers
right.
and the restaurants. Thanks everyone who came in as well to answer phones over those days.
And to the restaurants, too.
Yes, very much so.
That fed the volunteers and the staff as we worked very hard over
yes.
the last 10 days.
And thank you to you, our listeners, who contributed and listened through the fundraiser and offer encouragement and support. We do appreciate it. I was about to give the phone number. No, we're done. But, you know, you get in that cycle. Let's see. Antoinette Grajeda will join me tomorrow
yes.
for another new
Friday.
Edition yes, of Ozarks at Large. And you and I back together Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend
yes.
Ozarks at Large. All right. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Thanks so much for listening.
Happy Thursday.